Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Like food poisoning from Grandma's version of no-bake cookies and the word "some assembly required" at 11 p.m. on Christmas Eve, John the Baptist is certain to spoil your holiday spirit. As unkempt as he is unrelenting, John almost seems too strange to be serious. But serious he is, and serious is his message. With dependent clauses, both Roman and religious, Luke locates John squarely within the annals of history. In time and space, as a matter of record, the Word of God came to John. He is the fulfillment of Malachi's third chapter, the messenger who prepares the way of the Lord by preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. According to Luke, at least, that's what Isaiah's poetry means. To fill in valleys and level mountains is to preach repentance in preparing the way of the Lord. So that's what John does. It's why the word of the Lord came to him. It's why the Lord promised to send him, and that's why John is the rain on our holiday parade. He calls us to repent, and it's not very nice. When the crowds came out to John to be baptized by him, he cried, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And don't begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' because God doesn't care about your credentials. He is no respecter of persons. God can turn stones into sons. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, and every tree that's not bearing fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire." That's judgment talk from John. And even though it doesn't sound particularly pleasant, that's what the word of God that came to John sent him to preach. And it works. God's word always accomplishes the purpose for which he sends it. So the crowds asked John, "What then shall we do?" And John told them. He preached the fruits of repentance. God has given you two coats, so give one away to him who has none. God has given you more food than you need, so share your abundance with someone who's hungry. Don't be so idolatrous about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, consider the lilies. Seek first God's kingdom. Are you a tax collector? Then only collect the amount you're authorized to collect. Are you a soldier? Don't use your authority to extort money. Are you a father and husband? Lead your family with love and sacrifice and service. Are you a student? Obey those in authority over you as the representatives of God that they are. Hold them in the highest regard because of their work, for they serve as men who must give an account. With that sort of specificity, John's preaching places the fruits of repentance in the time and space reality of daily life. The life of repentance is lived in those simple specifics and the not-so-grand monotony of the everyday. As daily the old Adam dies, so daily the new man is raised, clothed with Christ's righteousness, fed from his death, living from the promise of his perfection. For that, John's preaching prepares the way. It's not particularly nice to hear, of course, because even when God's law is instructing, it's always accusing, opening the wound, tearing off the scabs and the scars to expose the infection that's killing us. It prepares the way of the Lord by crying, "Repent," and it leads us to ask anew, "What shall we do?" And John answers us all, saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming. The advent of our King is imminent, so remember that repentance has two parts. The first is contrition, and even though John's preaching won't make sugar plums dance in our head, it does prepare the way of the Lord in our heart, revealing how crooked and rough it's become, readying all flesh to see the salvation of God in Jesus, who is the second part of repentance, the founder, perfecter, and content of faith. In time and space, in the womb of a woman, the Word of God came to the world. The one mightier than John became man, that the axe of judgment should fall upon the root of Jesse, chopped down by our sin and thrown into the fire of God's wrath. Born in our flesh, baptized in our sin, destroyed in our death, Jesus is coming with more than a dream of another white Christmas. For while John's Advent message opens the wounds of our sin and exposes the infection of death, so does it prepare the way for the Lord's salve of salvation. Christ's words of absolution that heal all wounds and remove their deadly consequence. His baptism by Spirit and fire, by which we are clothed with water and words that are able to raise snakes to be sons. And even as we hunger and thirst for those fruits of repentance, so does Jesus come with his body and blood to feed us for this pilgrimage through death to life everlasting. Such is the baptized life of repentance, a daily life that's not always holly or jolly, but is filled with a peace that lasts through pain and sadness. Prepared for by John and delivered by Christ, the gifts of God's cross are the season's reason that we can find joy even when mourning, even when suffering, even when these holidays aren't filled with the magical moments we remember from childhood. For in time and space, wafer, wine, and water, the Word of God now comes to you. So even when the dogs eat the turkey and Ralphie shoots his eye out, you can still see the salvation of God, which nothing can spoil. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.